Why do so many of Jamaica's top dancehall stars have associations with violent crime? What happened to reggae music since the release of the film The Harder They Come in 1972? How did politics play a role in Jamaica's high murder rate? I'm Chris Salovich, and those are the questions I'll be asking in Jamaica, The Harder They Come on the BBC World Service.
Where are you going now? Where are you going to hide?
Hide? I'm not hiding.
But everybody would be looking for you.
You didn't believe me? Didn't I tell you I was going to be famous one day?
As The Harder They Come draws to its grim conclusion, the lead character, Ivan O'Martin, played by singer Jimmy Cliff, goes on the run. He's wanted for killing three police officers, but in his own mind he's a winner, a celebrity. His song has become a hit, and a picture of him brandishing a revolver in each hand is in all the papers. He's a musician outlaw, a hero to his community, living the gangster lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that many in Jamaica sought to pursue after seeing the film, combining the twin careers of crime and music. The soundtrack of The Harder They Come, a winning combination of sunny reggae and soul, popularized Jamaica's music throughout the world. 40 years on, Kingston rocks to a different beat, dancehall.
Yo, it's weird. We smoke weed, we not sniff Charlie. So me have to pick up the legend Bob Marley. Yap, berry phone anytime y'all call we. Same so we bossy Roberto Cavalli. Call me a yardie, call me a yardie. We love
baby. Everyone on the island would understand what dancehall music was.
Reshma B is a music journalist specializing in dancehall, the most popular style of music in Jamaica, often heard at big outdoor dances.
Can be on the street, a lawn, a block. You have a sound system strung up. You've got the selector, who is the person who selects the record. You have the DJ. And when I say DJ, I mean the person who actually raps in patois over the music. It's not someone who spins records. So there's two parts to that setup. The crowd, it normally consists of the hottest girls in town, the coolest rude boys. To sum it up, I'd say that dancehall was the sound of the youth in Jamaica.
The biggest star in Jamaican dancehall is the DJ Vibes Cartel, also known as the World Boss or the Teacher.
If you put on a stage show tomorrow, and Vibes was a free man, I would be surprised if he wasn't the headlined act. Musically, he's collaborated with massive stars like Rihanna and Busta Rhymes. Usain Bolt, it's true to say that he is a huge Vibes Cartel fan. He opened up his own record label. He's put out his own Street Vibes rum. He had a line of condoms. And of course, Vibes Cartel was responsible for the rise in sales of Clark's shoes after he made the song Clarks. The Jamaican youth look at him and aspire to be like him because they can see that coming from a poor background doesn't necessarily mean you can't gain that same wealth and that same power.
Real bad man, no muggle in a shards. Straight jeans, cut that foot pants. Everybody off the arms, let me get my clans.
Consciously or otherwise, Vibes Cartel seems to be emulating the character of Ivan O'Martin from The Harder They Come. In January 2004, he was charged with illegal possession of ammunition. In 2008, in an incident which directly parallels Martin's famous six-gun pose from the movie poster, police questioned Cartel over a widely circulated photograph of him posing with high-powered weapons. Since then, he's been arrested several times. In 2010, Cartel was the headline act at Reggae Sumfest's dance hall night in Montego Bay. As he came on stage, Vibes Cartel was dressed in an orange jumpsuit and handcuffs, while the PA system played a news broadcast of one of his arrests.
Dancehall artist Vibes Cartel was released on Friday, July 16, after serving a total of 2 weeks behind bars.
But Vibes Cartel is not alone. He's just the latest in a long list of Jamaican musicians with criminal associations. Buju Banton, Gregory Isaacs, Jah Cure, producer Junjo Laws, who almost single-handedly invented dancehall, gunned down in a crack cocaine-related killing. Tenasaur, who recorded the stylistically revolutionary Ring the Alarm.
Ring the alarm, hey.
Shot to death in 1990 in a Texas drug deal shootout. The list goes on and on.
Ring the alarm, and not a sound is dying. Whoa, hey.
These aren't small-time gangsters playing at being musicians. They're all huge stars in the Jamaican music scene with fans across the world. What I want to know is why so many Jamaican musicians are drawn to crime and why this does their popularity no harm at all. Chris Brown is a filmmaker and the cousin of Perry Henzel, who directed The Harder They Come.
As brilliant and as great as it was a bit irresponsible for making a gunman a hero, especially in a society like Jamaica, where people hold that to high esteem. I don't want to glorify gunmen. I'd hate to think that my film has influenced somebody to go out and kill people. I feel like there's a moral responsibility as a filmmaker. I remember doing Third World Cop and asking Ninja Man, who was in my film, why he is who he is today, and he said, because How Did It Come? He wanted to be a singer and a gunman. And that was so telling. This kid went and saw this film, and that's what he wanted to be. So.
Well, Ninja Man certainly has lived up to that ambition.
Oh, yeah, he certainly has. I mean, it's like watching Top Gun, and everybody wants to be a pilot.
Y'all tell me, me guy murder them, murder them.
In Kingston, I met up with dancehall DJ Ninja Man. He's a formidable and intimidating presence. The last musician I interviewed who had this kind of charisma and intensity was Peter Tosh of the Wailers, another musician caught in the cross currents between crime and music, who was shot at his home in 1987. Here's Ninja, currently out on bail for murder. Let me just ask you, when did you first see The Harder They Come?
When we were about 10 years of age.
So it really had an impact on you, clearly.
The Harder They Come had an impact on every single soul in Jamaica. This is the movie that makes everyone in Jamaica want to be a movie star. It starts by showing you what is wrong from right, what is right, and how to stand up and defend your own at all costs. You don't let people walk over you. It's sending a message, and there's a signal out there. So it's up for you to listen and see and learn from what you are seeing and hearing.
Same as that send the police after me and shoot him off the bike.
You're a bad man.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
The lead role in The Harder They Come was played by the singer Jimmy Cliff. I asked him how he saw the impact of the film.
To be very truthful, I think the movie inspired a lot of the gun things that are in Jamaica. One DJ that said what made him become like in guns is when he saw Jimmy Cliff in The Harder They Come. I heard Ninja Man said that.
A lot of these Jamaican musicians have criminal associations, but it doesn't seem to affect their popularity whatsoever.
It enhanced their popularity.
Yeah.
I have my own opinions. A lot of Jamaicans has a very strong attraction to guns. I attribute it to all the cowboy movies that we watch so much, and also to the history of Jamaica with the Maroons and the British. So you see, Jamaica has that kind of past, and so some of that is in the genes.
Hey, Jamaica has a long history of rebellion, dating back to the Maroons, the group of runaway slaves who resisted British rule in the 18th century. Today, it's common to talk about bad men by giving the word a positive spin. A real bad man, or Don, is often a kind of community leader who supports his people.
Once there was a bad, bad man in jail trying to play mad.
Back in the 1960s in Kingston, everyone was talking and singing about rude boys. These were young men who migrated to the city in search of work, just like Jimmy Cliff's Ivan O'Martin in The Harder They Come. When jobs were not forthcoming, they became frustrated, often clashing physically with police and with each other at sound systems, all-night street parties, where the latest Rocksteady and ska were played. Busby the Giant was a legendary rude boy of that era.
Busby was a celebrated bad man that people, you say, respect them, but really people were afraid of people like that.
Steve Barrow is the UK's top reggae and dancehall compiler and an expert on Jamaican music.
Busby asked Derek Morgan to write a song about him. Derek came up with Tougher Than Tough, which he recorded at the end of 1966. Tougher Than Tough.
Rougher than rough, tougher than tough.
Derek Morgan carried the dub plate, the rough mix of the song, to a dance, and Busby was at the dance, and Derek gave Busby the dub plate, and the next day Busby took it to a dance and was shot on his way. He was a bad man who lived by the sword and died by the sword.
Rudies don't fear, no boys, Rudies don't fear.
You need some protection.
Like what?
At one point in The Harder They Come, Ivan O'Martin, our musician outlaw, buys not one but two revolvers with which he poses to create an iconic image of gangster cool. We heard how shocking it had been for young Jamaicans like Jimmy Cliff to read about Reagan, a real-life gangster who inspired the film's storyline. Reagan famously shot several policemen in Kingston in the 1940s. That he owned a gun and had used it on police officers was considered outrageous in his day. Two decades on, the situation had changed. Guns were no longer a rarity in Jamaica, and the reason for this was largely political. The two main parties, the right-wing JLP and the left-wing PNP, began to carve up downtown Kingston into political fiefdoms. They armed and sponsored dons, de facto rulers, to enforce their political authority all over Kingston, ensuring that only their supporters had any chance of jobs or housing. Steve Barrow.
The political rivalry between the JLP and PNP goes back at least to the 50s. The guns came in the late 60s, 1966, which is when you also get all the rude boy songs like Desmond Dekker, Shantytown, Demma Loot, Demma Shoot.
Demma Loot, Demma Shoot, Demma Wheel. Shantytown. Rude boy, Depa, Papier, Shantytown. Rude boy, I bum up the town.
Shantytown. Jimmy Cliff.
Before I even made my first record, the politics in West Kingston was already rough. The politicians in that area brought guns in, and lots of my friends had guns, and they were giving me guns, free guns. And hadn't it been for the upbringing that I had, I thought to myself, what would my family think if they hear that I'm in Kingston firing a gun? Lots of my friends in Kingston, they died because they accepted to take the gun from the politicians. So yes, I could have gone just that way. I took the mic instead.
Prior to 1972, very few people outside of Jamaica had even heard of reggae. Then, in the space of 12 months, two records came along which changed the perception of Jamaican music forever. The first was the soundtrack to The Harder They Come by various artists, including Jimmy Cliff. The second was Catch a Fire by a group called The Wailers, led by a talented young singer called Bob Marley. I took a drive round Kingston with Carl Bradshaw, who plays double-crossing ganja dealer Jose in The Harder They Come.
The most famous property from a cultural standpoint on this street is 56 Hope Road, where Bob used to live and where the museum is now at. We're going to pass it. We're coming up now.
And here we are at Bob Marley Museum. There's now a new piece of new mural outside which says Marley Coffee. Stir It Up, available at the Bob Marley gift shop. Red, gold and green, picture of Bob over the top. And as usual, the people are clustered around the statue of him in front of the house, having photographs taken. Even Bob Marley, who produced so many uplifting songs of freedom, love and spirituality, could not escape the politically motivated violence of Kingston in the 70s. Bob was known to dons or local gang leaders from both political camps.
No sun will shine in my day today. No sun will shine.
It was at his home on Hope Road that one night in 1976, several gunmen burst in and shot at Bob, his wife Rita, and his manager Don Taylor, as Bob explained in a 1980 interview.
Well, it was about, that's about 9 o'clock in the night. And, you know, them fire until man starts to run and it ease up, you know.
You never saw the gunman?
Well, at that time, no.
But you know who did it?
Yeah, I know that.
Were they caught?
No, just, you know, one of them thing.
By the late 1970s, reggae had become a worldwide phenomenon. Groups like UB40, Madness, and The Specials were creating their own take on the genre. Meanwhile, in Jamaica, a new subgenre was beginning to appear: dancehall.
It's a robbery! Call the police for me!
Michael Riley was a member of Grammy Award-winning reggae group Steel Pulse, and is now head of music production at the University of Westminster and program director of the Black Music Research Unit.
Reggae changed. That first generation was looking outwards, selling reggae to the world, and it was doing that very successfully. But it was very much mimicking, on occasions, pop songs, pop lyrics, pop production, pop arrangements and what have you. Whereas dancehall reverted back to Jamaica, and it became very internal. It was talking to a Jamaican audience primarily. For a lot of us, we started to take umbrage with what was being said, the relationship to women, the subject of guns, the violence that was now being portrayed. And to be fair, you know, even Marley spoke about guns.
Yeah.
But it was...
Well, especially after they tried to shoot him.
But even before, I shot the sheriff.
Yeah, of course.
That could be translated into, again, this battle with the system. Who was the sheriff? It's very different to the lyrics that followed in dancehall. You're talking about your peers and what you're going to do to them.
Oh, when the moon is nice and it's time to rise, I am dangerous way.
The 1980 general election in Jamaica saw bloodshed on an unprecedented scale, with over 800 politically motivated murders. It was also a pivotal time for Jamaican music.
The PNP were voted out in a landslide election, the JLP came to power, and the focus of the music became much more hedonistic for the pleasures of the moment, both carnal and also material. The bling culture began then, the wearing of the gold round the necks and so forth. There are quite a few tracks which celebrate the by now integrated gun culture. A record like Gunman by Michael Prophet for the PNP sympathetic producer Henry Junjo Lewis.
I wake up in the morning, what do I see? Gunmen standing over me.
John Joe Lewis was a man who became a major force in the music, and he became a don in the music and in Jamaican ghetto life. Unfortunately, he got caught up in possession of firearms and drugs and went to prison in America. And when he came out, he was no longer the force in the music that he had been. He later came over to England and returned to his old bad man ways and came up against a younger person who felt no compunction in shooting him in the street.
Busy Signal is a dancehall singer who performs all over the world. Yet he was arrested for cocaine trafficking whilst on tour in the United States. Absconding bail, he spent a decade on the run and eventually served his sentence in 2012. I met him in Kingston and asked why he thought so many Jamaican musicians get involved with crime.
Each case is unique. We are all in the same occupation, along with Buju, along with Jackie, or along with any artist who's been incarcerated before. You know, Bob Marley's been shot before. These things happen. You know what I mean? Great men been through tribulations. You know, Mandela, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey. You know, been up in USA, been deported just because he didn't want to pay a $25 fine.
Well, I hear that. I'm not sure that Vibes is like Marcus Garvey, to be honest.
You know, it's different cases.
Today, Vibes Cartel is the most successful dancehall artist in Jamaica. In America, he's the best-known DJ, with YouTube views of his videos reaching tens of millions. In 2011, after a series of what could be called scrapes with the law, his situation became much more serious when he was arrested for murder.
Popular and controversial dancehall figure Vibes Cartel is facing three charges tonight, including murder. The DJ was charged this evening, days after the police arrested him in St. Andrew, Kirkright.
Cartel has spent the last 2 years on remand in a Kingston prison. One of the really interesting things is that throughout this time, the press and public have remained obsessed with the details of his daily life. If he gets a new cellmate or has a mobile phone confiscated, it gets reported. So what is it about Vibes Cartel that captures the public imagination? Michael Riley.
He's a prominent member of the local community. And that's really fascinating. And the extent to which the community will bend over backwards to protect this almost Robin Hood type character that on one hand is an outlaw. And from the community side, it's a Robin Hood. And the community knows full well that he's involved with these illegal areas.
Today, Vibes Cartel remains in jail. He's been found not guilty of the murder of St. Catherine businessman Barrington Bossy Burton, but is due to stand trial in November for the murder of Clive Lizard Williams. He maintains his innocence.
Come along, my brother, come along. Let us do the things we're supposed to do for our mother.
Personally, I find the violence in dancehall over the last 30 years to be depressing. I'm baffled by the way that the lyrics of, for example, Vibes Cartel, so frequently veer between pornographic and homicidal. In his song Gun Session, for example, he celebrates the shooting of police informers. You put the 45 under the bladder, squeeze the trigger. I fell in love with reggae because of its conscious righteousness, but dancehall often promulgates the utter opposite of such positive thought. There's not really much connection between Gun Session and Burning Spears' Man in the Hills. But I'm not representative of the Jamaican population who continue to support this music. Driving around Kingston, all you hear is dancehall. But is all dancehall obsessed with violence? And do all these musicians associate themselves with criminality? Reshma B.
Dancehall has a lot of songs that talk about violence. It also has a lot of songs that doesn't talk about violence. The list is endless on what it goes on about. And so there's a lot of talk about also calming down the violence. The Wailers in their time, they had a song called Simmer Down. Even more recent people like Mavado, he's had a song called Gal Over Gun. Cartel actually just released a song called School. The lyrics are, pull up your pants, put them on your waist, tuck in your shirt.
Pull up your pants and put it on your waist and tuck in your shirt and don't bleach your face.
So there are songs that go on about every day-to-day thing.
Early to school, me no have time for late. Sit down in a exam on my degree.
There is some cause for hope, with indications in Jamaica of a decline in levels of violence. In Jamaica in 2009, there were 1,683 murders. In 2012, this had dropped to just over 1,000, a 35% fall in murders in 3 years. That's still 21 Jamaicans murdered every week. Jamaica is a country of sharply polarized paradoxes. It's these often sudden contradictions I found so fascinating when I first saw The Harder They Come 40 years ago, and they continue now to be rivetingly intriguing. Yet it's an egregious tragedy that for so many young musicians in Jamaica, it's almost a prerequisite to rub up against the system, to fight what is still seen as repression by the powers that be, whether that's economic or otherwise. Figures like Ivan Martin and Vibes Cartel will continue to represent a way out and a form of success, however short-lived that might be.
Jamaica, The Harder They Come was presented by Chris Salovich and produced by Simon Poole. It was a Something Else production for the BBC World Service.